for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, and Cougars is right here on The Zone. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
They're too good. In a lot of ways, we mirror each other. You know, they're two or three in offense in the country, and they're 12th in defense. There's just not a lot of holes in either team.
That's UConn head coach Danny Hurley. His Huskies looking to defend their national championship tonight against the Purdue Boilermakers. Big-time matchup for a national championship tonight in Glendale, Arizona, at the home of the Arizona Cardinals. We roll into the 5 o'clock hour. Thanks for joining us in your car or wherever you might be. Jeremiah Jensen, Stevenson Sylvester sitting in for Alex Keery today on JJ and Alex. It's brought to you by G2G Bars with all natural ingredients, no preservatives, and plenty of protein. G2G Bars are perfect for anyone who needs a tasty and nutritious boost. As I mentioned, the men's national championship game is tonight, but it has got a tough act to follow because the women stole the show this year. I'm sorry. Unless this game tonight can get, 17.8 million viewers?
That's a tough ask.
Pretty crazy, right? Game starts tonight, 9:20 Eastern. That's not going to help. 7:20 Mountain Time. And, you know, does it ever start exactly with the time they throw out there? It does not. So, big game tonight, but it feels like we watched the big show yesterday, if I'm being honest with you, Sly, and the numbers prove that. What a night yesterday.
It was incredible. I mean, they put on a show. First, the buildup, the lead up into that game.
The hype.
Right?
It was massive.
It was all on the news all week, you know, from talking about the Final Four matchup with UConn, Iowa, North Carolina State, and South Carolina. The build-up to those games were just, it was done great, marketable, right? You got to be marketable. It has to go hand in hand. And the women's game lived up to the hype, electrifying first quarter.
Yep.
If you weren't off your seat in that first quarter, it was crazy. You're like, what is going on? This juggernaut in South Carolina, they can't do nothing. Kaylin can't miss. What's going on? And then South Carolina settled in and came back in the game. Storylines is great. Absolutely awesome. Don Staley in control of that team. Young freshman stepping up for a veteran team was great. Iowa just didn't have enough in the tank. They went through a gauntlet of a bracket.
Yeah.
They sure played epic teams. And for me, that's what I saw. I'm not trying to make excuses because you got to be ready for the moment. You know the dates. You know what's happening. You know what you need to do. But if I were to analyze it, I'm just like, I mean, South Carolina sat their starters, you know, in the third quarter of the NC State game. As far as UConn and Iowa went down to the wire, needed all the energy. The way Caitlin Clark had to run around against UConn, like, you can tell she was exhausted.
Yeah.
Right? Playing all 40 minutes. But, I mean, the national championship lived up to the hype. Women's did a tremendous job. And the men's, I thought the men's have done pretty well this year. Of course, we're saying the women's are just, they're just a marketing phenomenon right now. Everybody's talking about them. They're just the new shiny toy right now, and it's absolutely awesome. And I'm loving it, and I'm hoping this trend keeps going with women basketball. Women is just, or the men are just, you know, on the other side of that. But there's good basketball being played over there as well.
How do the men follow it up? That is our cut at 5 o'clock.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
They understand what we're up against. They understand we haven't played anybody like UConn. They're not fools. We have cable where we're from. So, like, we're very familiar. I think that's the number one thing of, you know, not fearing your opponent, but respecting your opponent. We have a lot of respect for UConn.
That is Purdue head coach Matt Painter. And, yeah, he's no dummy, and neither is Purdue. They know what they're going up against tonight. It's been a juggernaut, and it's kind of an unlikely juggernaut, Sly, because we could sit there, and I mean, you could go out on the street right now and ask people to name a player on UConn. I bet you'd struggle to find people that know, that even name one, and definitely not two. We can sit here and do that. Donovan Klingon, Stephon Castle, Crawford. I go on and on and on. But look, this UConn dynasty that's about to be born is built out of an incredibly gifted head coach who has brought in the right combination of players into his program. He has guys that have stayed in that program and have helped build that program. And even after last year losing guys, he's built it back up again to where this team looks like a juggernaut. And on paper, that's not the case. You don't look at it's not like we just talked about John Calipari leaving Kentucky and 36 first-round draft picks. Like those Kentucky teams, you looked at it like, whoa, we know who these guys are.
Right,
I mean, they were
the
4-5-star McDonald's All-Americans, can't miss. They'd go straight to the NBA if they didn't have to play 1 year. The one-and-done era. Right. The one-and-done era is over, by the way.
Right.
Like, there are players that are going to be one-and-done. But being a star one-and-done is really, really hard because, thanks to NIL, players are staying longer, which is, I believe, going to be good for the game because we get this question often. Why did the women's game blow up? Why has it become so popular? I think one of the reasons, it's not the reason, but one of the reasons is you have players who stay 3 or 4 years. You get to know them. We got to know Caitlin Clark. She blew up on the scene last year, got her team all the way to the national championship game, came up short. We knew who Caitlin Clark was last year. It set the stage for this year.
Right.
When not only did we know who she was, we couldn't wait to watch her every night because she knew how spectacular she was.
Breaking records every
night. You become familiar with these players.
Right.
It's so hard for a one-and-done playing a 3 or 4 month season to capture the hearts and minds of the public.
Right.
Not going to happen unless they do something crazy. DJ Burns, not a one-and-done, but my point being is like the DJ Burns thing with NC State was kind of a nice 8-9-game run.
Right.
It's over.
Right.
That's not sustained over a long period of time. He's done with college basketball now. The NC State run is over. Caitlin Clark's going on to the WNBA, and the college women's college game continues to turn out talent with star power and flair and moxie.
Right.
Who are those stars now in men's college basketball? Does Zach Edey have State Farm commercials?
No.
Why not?
Man.
Do you know why he can't? Because he's from Canada. He has a visa.
Oh,
yeah. He can't get NIL either.
So I do know
he
about
cannot
these,
make money right
these
now.
International players
correct.
In NIL. Yeah.
They have visas. They can't make money here.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's a big problem. It needs to be fixed. I get it. But it's just another obstacle. Like, your top player of the game doesn't have these commercials. He doesn't
National
have NIL.
Player of the year.
Yeah. I mean, and your best team, UConn, I mean, 4 out of 5 people can't name one player on your team.
Right.
So men's college basketball needs to learn something from women's college basketball right now. Star power matters. Narratives matter. For a long time, it was all about the coaches. Coach K, Bobby Knight, Calipari even. I'll throw him some bones there. The biggest stars in the college game have been the coaches.
Right.
And it's still the same. I mean, Danny Hurley is the most recognizable name. When you talk about UConn, you just talk about Danny Hurley.
And why? Because he's been there.
He's the only recognizable thing about it because these other players filter out every year.
Right, right.
If it's not NIL, it's a transfer portal.
Jeez.
You can go you go to Twitter tomorrow, and I guarantee you half the players in this game are either going to the NBA or they're hitting the portal. Whether they're actually leaving or just trying to get more NIL money, there's no continuity in the men's college game. It's a problem.
Right.
We want to become familiar with who these guys are. It even happens here with sports. We talked about Jaquinnon Jackson leaving and going to Arkansas. I think Utah fans were finally getting to know who he was, and all of a sudden he's gone.
Right.
Like, look at Zach Moss, who stayed here for 4 years. You were here for 4 years. You're a part of this community. Everybody knows who you are.
That's so true.
They feel connected to you.
Right.
Even today, Zach Moss, and I give Zach Moss credit. He could have bounced. He could have left. He could have gone to the NFL early. Zach Moss stayed. He still has a connection with this community.
Mm-hmm.
He's the all-time leading rusher in Utah history. He comes back here all the time. I see him at Jazz games. Like, there's a connection there. You can't have a connection in 4 or 5 months if you're going to bounce. I mean, here's an example. And this is just how it is anymore. Just how it is. But at BYU football, Keaton Slovis comes in for how long?
1 year.
Not even that. I mean, he's in there for at least he was in spring ball, but you play like 8 college games and you're gone.
Right.
It's impossible to build a legacy and to build something lasting in 8 months.
So crazy.
And so you're going to see a lot less of, and as this filters through and you see more and more people in the portal, you're going to see that be harder and harder for athletes to build something, build a legacy, build a brand. Because these guys, I mean, they're extremely talented. They should be able to do that. I love that NIL provides them the opportunity to do that. But you got to be around long enough to be able to. I mean, how would you feel if you're a company and you put NIL money on a player and he comes in for 3 or 4 months, he's hurt half the time, and he's gone? That was a waste of your investment.
Right.
That's a problem for the players. But anyway, back to college basketball, Sly. What are your thoughts on that? What does the college basketball game need to do to increase its popularity? Would a dynasty like UConn help that, or does it need star player like the women's game?
I mean, I'm with you right now, and I think it's because basketball being the Olympic sport, a dominant Olympic sport, everybody plays basketball. Not everybody plays football.
You're right.
Right? And so these guys transferring to other places, you're not building those legacies. You're not building those brands to be able to say, like, hey, I can do XYZ for a company. A company, look, and this is the problem with this NIL stuff is I don't think these kids understand. They just think that I get, right?
Yeah.
This is what I get. I get it. No. You have to give something in order to receive something, right? They don't understand that concept. So, again, your business scenario, how angry or upset are these businesses who are giving this NIL money and these people aren't fulfilling those contracts, right? Because they're gone in the transfer portal. I got to look out for myself. The problem with these young guys is they're not understanding their future. And this is my whole problem with NIL. I love that you're getting paid, right? I wish I could have got paid.
Yeah.
Right? I wish I could have done all this stuff. That's not the reason I hate this. I hate this stuff because these guys aren't thinking of the future, the brand aspect of the community that they're implanting or imprinting in. They don't understand the value in that, right? The value that I experience from knowing you, from knowing KSL, from knowing you guys, Zip, from covering me back in college because I stayed here for 4 years.
Yeah.
Right? If I had bounced, like I just think about it, Haley Van Lith, who's going to be her alumni? Is it going to be Louisville? Is it going to be LSU? Or is it going to be her new school? Keaton Slovis, is it USC? Is it Pittsburgh? Is it BYU? Nobody was able to build a relationship with him at BYU or Pittsburgh. I know nobody even remembers him at USC. So I'm just like, you're going to have nothing. You're not thinking about your future, right? You got to set yourself up for the future. And these kids are not thinking about it. And this is what I tell them all the time, short money. It is hard to live nowadays, right? It is hard, cost of living, everything matches up. You're taking short money and not investing in your future, knowing that that short money is going to wither away and it's not going to be there. I mean, now a household, to be comfortable, you need to have a household making, what, over $150,000?
It's getting that way.
$170,000?
It's getting that way.
To be comfortable?
Yeah. 100%.
Say you got kids who's doing sports.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Trust right? me, I know.
There's a lot of money being forked out, but you're not investing in your future, which means you're traveling from school to school. What do you care about your education at that point? That, again, is not your future.
Yeah.
You're not investing in your future. That is my problem with the NIL, and you hit it right on the head with all of your examples. You're not building your brand. You're not doing these things. And for college basketball, being an Olympic sport, people are transferring all over the place, and they're easily replaceable, which means they're easily forgotten.
Right.
And that's why it's not very marketable. But Caitlin Clark, LSU with Angel Reese, she transferred in there, but she was just at Maryland and then transferred over there, but made a statement and stayed there, right? She's building that community over there. But there was just a lot of narratives within the women's basketball games that came to fruition. They did a good job of marketing themselves, but staying home and able for that marketing to actually build and come to fruition. Jaquindon Jackson, prime example, right? He was on everything. I mean, you saw him during the games. He was on all of those commercials and stuff they had. Utah was marketing the crap out of him. But he's been gone, what, 2-3 months now?
Yeah.
Already forgotten, pretty much.
What if he, like, rushes for 300 yards total at Arkansas? Then what?
then what? Right?
What if it doesn't work out there?
Your bit at Texas, your bit here at Utah.
Yeah.
Like you build a legacy. These kids don't understand that these days.
They don't. And the other part of it is, unfortunately, a lot of kids have to play the game, just like the coaches are playing the game right now. John Calipari leaving Kentucky is playing the game. A lot of the stuff is about dealing with the game and what it is. So we actually get to a game tonight, and I think it is a good showcase for college basketball tonight because I believe you have the two best teams.
Yes,
And you talk about legacy. Zach Edey is building a legacy at Purdue.
Yes, he did.
Purdue has not been to a Final Four since 1980. They are one step away from winning a final from winning it all. And Zach Edey is a good example of being at a place for more than 1 year, being at the top of the game, and building a legacy. It kind of reminds me of Andrew Bogut at Utah, like where he's at right now. Two-time player of the year. Bogut was a one-time player of the year. Bogut wasn't here for 4 years, but he was at least here for two and left a legacy.
Same with Alex Smith.
Right. And this Zach Edey is the same for Purdue. But college basketball needs more of this, and tonight should be a showcase for men's college basketball. And I think it can be. And I think people like great storylines, but women's game has got them beat right now with storylines and star power and everything else. But maybe UConn becoming a dynasty and becoming a power and becoming that team that everybody wants to beat, that's a story. Right. That's entertainment. Can somebody beat UConn?
Can someone
knock them
UConn
off the perch?
Yeah.
These are things we want to watch. UConn would be the first back-to-back team to win it all since Billy Donovan's Florida teams 2006 and 2007. Before that, you'd have to go all the way back to Duke and Coach K in 1992. So UConn has something to do, a chance to do something tonight. It's pretty historic.
Right.
And it doesn't happen very often. And we should be able to recognize that greatness. But just how compelled are we to watch that greatness tonight? How into this is the public?
Outside of us sports nerds.
I'm going to watch because I'm basketball. I love basketball. And I'm going to watch the national championship game. But I don't know if you listening right now are itching to watch that game tonight.
Right.
I don't know.
Is it tickling your fancy?
Are you as excited about the game tonight as you were about the women's basketball game yesterday?
Because I was excited.
Chances are probably not. Are you excited about UConn-Purdue tonight?
I mean, I'm just like, whatever, I'm going to watch.
Okay, you just answered my question. But whatever, I'm going to watch.
But like, one, storyline's connection here to Utah, I saw what Zach Edey did to Utah State, and I'm just like, yo,
yeah,
beast. So I want to watch that. Can he do that against a dominant UConn team?
Donovan Klingon is a lottery pick.
But that's a storyline.
He's going to be playing against him,
right?
Yeah.
Can he unseat UConn? Or is UConn going to do something that hasn't been done in 30-plus years? Right? That's a storyline that I'm looking forward to seeing within that. But that's only two or three storylines.
I would argue that's not enough to capture the attention.
No, not the way the women.
It's not enough to get 17.3 million people to watch.
Not the way the women have done it.
And that's the dilemma that men's college basketball has right now. If you're watching what the women have done, you're like, why can't we do that?
Right.
Well, I pointed out some reasons why. You got to address these things. As great as the transfer portal and NIL has been for different reasons, there's also another side to it that has made it very difficult for people to latch on and really capture their attention, because the second somebody's in a place, he's gone the next.
Right.
And it's more prominent in basketball when you only have five players on the floor than it is in football when you have a 100-man roster.
Right.
It'll be a good showcase tonight. I do believe we have the two best teams. 720. Jeremy, can you listen to that game right here?
12:80 a.m.
12:80 a.m. If you are you can't get to a TV, you want to listen to the game tonight. Westwood One has it right here on 12:80, the KSL Sports Zone, starting tip off at 7:20 p.m. There you go. It's both. There we go. 97.5 or 12:80. There you go. You can listen to the game right here on the KSL Sports Zone. We got to take a short break. When we get back, the NFL Blitz. We've got NFL draft comps. I can't wait to get Sly's take on some of these, whether he agrees with them or not. You're listening to JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All the latest news and notes from the league and the locals in the NFL. JJ and Alex bring you the NFL Blitz on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Best sound ever.
The soothing sounds of NFL films.
I just think of Franco Harris, Immaculate Reception being played under this.
Yes.
Oh, amazing.
The soundtrack of my life.
Deacon Jones, clothesline somebody.
Oh, throwback. I love the Deacon Jones reference. That's old school NFL films right there.
If you're a football savant, you gotta go old school. Charles Haley. All these guys are just freaking monsters.
Rest in peace, Deacon Jones and Franco Harris. They're all gone.
Yeah. Time's flying, man. It's just nuts.
The autumn wind. All right. We got to get to business here before we get to the NFL, though. We got something to give away. Well, at least we're going to qualify you to give you something. It is Masters Week, so be caller 12 right now at 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-9663. And you'll be assigned one of the top 26 golfers or the field in the Uinta Golf Major Giveaway from Uinta Golf. Again, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-9663. If your player wins, you win your player's brand of driver. Let's dig into it here. There's a lot of things going on, but the draft is obviously first and foremost, front and center, Sly. We've been breaking down the draft locally here on KSL Sports Live every weekend. And on radio, a chance for us to talk about the draft in total. Every year, and you know how this is, Sly, is you're always looking for the next this or the next that. We even talked about Caitlin Clark today. Okay, who's going to be the next Caitlin Clark in women's college basketball? You're always trying to find that person instead of just looking for a good player. Well, the NFL's no different.
Right.
GM scouts, they've got to try to figure out and find comps for athletes and players. So naturally, that's going to take place as people break down the draft. ESPN has some 2024 draft comps out. I want to throw them out there, and I want to get your reaction to them. We got to start with the number one overall pick. And if this is how this turns out, I'm not sure what I'll think about this player's legacy. But nonetheless, here we go. Caleb Williams, who we assume is going to be the number one overall pick to the Chicago Bears, mm-hmm. even though none of us thought that was the right path for them, they're going to do it anyway. They compare Caleb Williams to Russell Wilson. Your thoughts?
I think physicality, I don't know. Russell Wilson was a slinger at Wisconsin.
He had his moments in the NFL. He won a Super Bowl. Yeah, should have won a second if they would have gave the ball to Marshawn Lynch.
Just hand the ball off.
I was there for that. I watched that in
person. They wanted Russell to be the MVP hero. That's what that was all about.
Well, how stupid is that?
Stupid. Win the game. Win the game. Anyway, I don't hate this comparison, but I don't agree. If that makes any sense.
Yes.
So I think physical-wise, right, physical attributes, I think, align to a Russell Wilson. But I don't know. Caleb Williams' ability to make things happen, he's up there on another level. But a lot of the guys that are doing that, the Pat Mahomes, right, they weren't doing that coming out of the draft. And so that's the generational impact of you in – impacting the next generation is doing stuff like that. I don't know who I would compare Caleb Williams to because he's strong, right? I've seen so many people try to take him down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why can nobody grab this guy? Utah went in the same. I'm just like, why can it, in like the Arizona game, the four overtime game where he was running it in, I'm just like, okay, you guys, because they did a lot of QB sneaks. So he has Josh Allen's strength.
Yeah.
With Pat Mahomes' creativity.
Yes.
And so, like, with that, I can't really say that was Russell Wilson.
I don't know who his comp is. I would compare him much more to Patrick Mahomes than Russell Wilson. I mean, rarely, I don't remember Russell Wilson doing things with his legs that Caleb Williams that had already Caleb shown he could do, where he could just make a play out of nothing.
Right.
Russell Wilson had a laser arm, and despite his size.
Right.
But I never saw that from him. That's why Russell Wilson was, what, a third-round pick? Because he couldn't do the things that a Caleb Williams can do. So I don't like the comp. That's my opinion.
I'm with you.
Bo Nix to Drew Brees.
Oh. Drew Brees, Purdue Boilermaker. Oregon Duck, Auburn Tiger, Bo Nix. I like it. That's a good comp.
Okay.
That's a good comp. Well, I mean, one, of course, you know, Drew Brees starting out in San Diego. You know, he was good there, but he wasn't great there. He really made the transition when he had a good partnership in Sean Payton.
Which matters. We talk about it all the time.
I like this because Sean Payton is where?
Denver.
And where should Bo Nix go?
Number 12 pick?
To Denver. Mm. I think he should go to Denver. He's my favorite quarterback in this draft, you know, simply because...
Wow.
And there's a lot of great quarterbacks. And, of course, that could sway as we get closer to draft. But I love what Bo Nix brings to the table is because I'm thinking not right now. I'm thinking future.
Yeah.
And I think Bo Nix's future, he's a football guy. And I met him at Media Days down in Vegas. I'm like, this guy gets it. And so what he's able to do on the football field translates. And so I like Bo Nix a lot.
That's a good one. I don't mind that comp either. Marvin Harrison Jr. to DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, DeAndre?
Yeah.
So, no. I say more Larry Fitzgerald.
Really?
Larry Fitz for me and Marvin Harrison Jr. The way Marvin Harrison has came these last couple years, if you look at Larry in Pittsburgh and Larry's impact in Arizona, I say Marvin and Larry Fitzgerald for me. Body type, the way they move, the way they catch the ball, they got strong hands. Larry Fitzgerald has some strong hands. So does DeAndre Hopkins. But my comp is more Larry Fitzgerald for me.
Okay. On to the next. J.J. McCarthy to Kirk Cousins.
What? Kirk Cousins came from what? Michigan State?
He did.
Michigan State. J.J. McCarthy. I don't know. I don't see that. Kirk Cousins is taking an interesting path, right? To becoming making
he certainly has
$400 plus million dollars more than Tom Brady, $100 million more than Tom Brady's career.
Isn't that crazy?
That's insane. I don't know. I don't know that kind of, I don't know.
I don't think that works either. I don't know what JJ's comp is.
Yeah.
We need to see him in the NFL first.
Yeah.
But it's not Kirk Cousins.
Because Kurt wasn't great coming out of the draft, so it's hard to kind of just do that.
Yeah, he wasn't even projected to be a starter in the league.
Yeah, I don't know. But if you have
RG3 got hurt in Washington, he took advantage of the opportunity.
Exactly. Right? If you have Jim Harbaugh, in Jim Harbaugh's opinion, this guy's Joe Montana.
No.
But JJ, I like him. I don't know. If there was a comp, and I want to give him a good comp and compliment, I'd say Troy Aikman. Give Troy Aikman. He's a little more mobile than Troy.
Okay.
But
that makes more sense to me.
As far as the leader,
yeah,
bringing people together, making things happen, I would say Troy Aikman.
I like that one. I like that better. You're very familiar with Laiatu Latu out of UCLA.
Oh, yeah.
His comp, Max Crosby.
Laiatu Latu.
Is he as mean as Max Crosby?
Max is great. I love his attitude. Yeah. He's such a Raider.
Yep. Perfect fit, right?
Raiders.
He should never play for any other team.
Raiders.
Yep.
I that's just good. I like that.
Okay.
I like that. Yeah, let's go with that. I'm good with that comp. That's a good comp.
Okay, I got one more for you. Malik Nabers to CeeDee Lamb.
That's not a bad comp. Is there somebody else that would be a better comp than Malik?
If Malik Nabers is CeeDee Lamb, he needs to be going a lot higher than what he might go.
It's all about need right now.
Because
I love Malik. I'd take Malik over Marvin.
Yeah. I think Marvin's more hype. I think Malik's probably solid. More talented.
Malik is solid. Yeah. So you pair him with a good QB, you're winning.
I don't feel like Chicago he has the same amount of entitlement.
Chicago might take him at 9. Oh, yeah, yeah. You're completely right. You're completely right. And that's probably.
I get it. Marvin's the son of an NFL Hall of Famer. So
pedigree.
He comes from, he has a different background. He grew up different, he has a different life. But it feels like
that shouldn't be a thing right now though. as far as a GM, I wouldn't look at that. I'm looking at totality, somebody I can imprint on.
Absolutely.
Right now, character-wise, Chicago may take him at 9. Caleb Williams, Malik Nabers at 9.
Oh, my gosh.
That would be awesome. Keenan Allen's
and
already there.
And you've got Keenan Allen there now. Now, all of a sudden, the Bears aren't a quarterback graveyard.
Right.
Place where quarterbacks go to die. That's a different deal. Even in the wind.
Yes.
I'm watching that.
That's what the Texans did, right? Texans
that's
did
exactly
great.
What they did.
They did great. Their draft, this past draft.
Oh, they nailed the draft. They got the best. They got the best offensive player in the draft and the best defensive player in the draft.
And
in the top five.
And a top five receiver in the draft with Tank Dell.
Exactly.
They killed it.
But they didn't have to pick him in the top five, did they?
No.
Pretty good draft. You're right.
Yeah.
Then that shows you how quickly in the NFL you can turn around a franchise with the draft, which is why I don't understand teams like my Denver Broncos mortgaging your entire future for one dude that's washed and everybody knows he's washed. You didn't even make a phone call up to anybody in Seattle. Like, dude, does Russell Wilson have anything left in the tank? What's going on? No, we'll just throw. You can have all our picks and then these players. The draft is so important.
Through the kitchen sink.
The draft is so important. The Texans proved it. And like you mentioned, the Bears have a chance to prove it this year. They are the team that could be the Texans of last year.
They really could.
If they hit on these picks. That's
especially
really
if they get that new stadium. Do you see the renderings of that new stadium they want to build? That is beautiful.
It'll get done. They love the Bears in Chicago. Oh. Imagine if the Bears actually won consistently.
The who? The Bears.
The Bears. Good luck to the Bears in the NFL draft. Bring Caleb Williams to Chicago.
Have they done an SNL skit on that yet?
They need to.
Oh, I can't wait.
Bring those guys back. They can't bring Chris Farley back, though. Dang it.
Oh, Chris Farley.
Now I just got sad. I shouldn't be sad after the NFL blitz, but I am. Rest in peace, Chris Farley. We love
him. 90s were a different time.
Oh, they were. We love them. All right, that's your NFL blitz on this Monday. It'll be back tomorrow. We got to take a short break. Best and worst are next right here. We already gave away our stuff. We're ready to go, Jeremy. Let's go to a break.
Wrapping up the hour with our picks for the best and worst moments on today's show. As JJ and Alex want to hear your best and worst of the day.
JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Best and worst time. Before we get to that, for an incredible selection on Kia, Subaru, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, or Ram, visit Doug Smith dealerships in American Fork and Spanish Fork. Great service starts with know-how, and nobody knows how like Doug. Hey, Doug. Sorry, that missed. That missed the mark.
Doug.
That did not hit that right.
Dougie, Dougie. What's that movie?
I am officially
that
the
was
worst
a masterpiece
today.
Of oh, dog sh**.
I am the worst. I am an idiot. No doubt about that. You know who's not the worst? The Red Rocks. They've done it again.
Gosh.
That is our best for today. We got to give some love to the Utah gymnastics team who have done it again. They qualify for nationals. They had to rally. They were in fourth after the first rotation. It was ugly. They did not have a good first rotation, but they were able to rally, bounce back. They placed second. The top two teams from that regional go to nationals. So the Red Rocks will head to nationals. I believe they're in Texas this year for the 48th straight season. Is there any other team in sport that has done something at the highest level for 48 straight years? I don't care what sport it is.
Right.
It could be...
dominate for 48 straight years.
Cricket. There's no cricket here. Like what? Croquet. Badminton. who's like the most dominant badminton program in the country? I have no idea. But if they did it for 48 straight years, I'd be like, wow, that's pretty impressive.
Right. Who would that be? What sport would that be?
Nobody. And that's why it's such a remarkable feat.
Right.
And I know fans have just, they want to see this program finally break through and get that national championship they haven't had in 30 years. But the program to be able to be this consistent over time for 48 straight years and to be at nationals and to be competing for that national championship each and every year. It's such a remarkable feat. So congratulations to the Red Rocks headed to the Nationals once again. Our worst, Sly. I hate this. Like the NFL draft is this month.
Oh, come on.
Tavondre Sweat, Texas defensive lineman.
Oh, yeah.
Very talented player. I don't know where he's going to be picked. but he's going to drop. He's going to take a dip. And why is that? Well,
come on.
He was arrested Sunday on suspicion of driving while intoxicated after a crash in Austin.
So wasn't convicted?
Not yet. The incident occurred at approximately 4:41 a.m.
Bro,
what are you doing?
What are you doing?
This young man is about to receive generational money in a draft if he doesn't mess up. Like, you know what's coming in 3 weeks. And as a football player, you have put yourself in this position and you've put the work in to earn a chance to be drafted really high. And you go and do this 3 weeks before the draft? Sly, help me out.
I just don't know, because I'm trying to remember my whole draft process. And, like, I was so, like, locked in. I didn't have extra time. You know, I think we had a friend's birthday that happened, and like, we went to Vegas for one night. But, like, I'm training. I wasn't, like, and so, like, even then, so, after they tell you everything with the NFL and how these GMs are analyzing everything, they're watching you. There's eyes everywhere, especially nowadays, right? Because everybody has a camera phone. Everybody has social media. You don't even need people in the area like you used to, right? They're watching and analyzing everything you're doing, from drinking to how you go to support your family. They're watching everything. So you going out on the bars late at night at 4:40 a.m., they're watching you. And so for me, that's all I need to know to, like, I'm staying in the house. I'm not doing anything. But there's just people who just, they don't get that. And this could be a big character thing as far as him dropping in the draft to being like, is this going to be a continuous problem in the future?
A, I'm glad he didn't kill anybody.
Right.
B, I'm glad he didn't hurt anybody, including himself. And C, I hope he can learn from this and it never happens again.
Yeah.
And he can continue to be an example later on as somebody who can say, don't do what I did. Don't make this dumb mistake that almost cost me everything.
Yeah.
I hope he learns from it. But we're seeing this all too often. We saw Rashee Rice.
Mm.
We don't know all the details about that incident, but we do know he was speeding in a car 100 miles an hour and crashed it and walked away. What are you guys doing? You have everything in life. Like, why are you throwing it away over a thrill or some alcohol and you can't call an Uber or whatever it is? I don't know. This is stupid. I hope he gets his act together. This is really disappointing. I hate seeing this. But I hope he learns from it. I hope he comes better from it. He'll still get a shot in the NFL, but it's not going to be as good as a shot he would have got otherwise.
Right.
Tough way to wrap up this segment here, but that's why we call it the best and worst. And let's hope he gets things in order. JJ and Alex will continue right after this, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.